You're listening to the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast, episode 72, The Slight Edge of Tech.
Am I up next?
Dell.
So this is a big deal.
You know, who cares about them, really? I don't. That's so like last century's news.
So there's this, So there's this, there's this quote, this famous quote back in 2007 by Michael Dell, the founder of Dell Computer, where he basically, where Apple was not doing, Apple was doing better, but still wasn't, you know, flourishing quite yet. The iPhone hadn't quite made its stellar debut. And Michael Dell was quoted as saying, if I remember correctly, he said, Steve Jobs and Apple should pack up shop and give all their money back to the investors. Well, it's been 5-6 years since then, and Michael Dell gave back all his money to his investors.
So what you're saying is that he was actually just thinking out loud his plans.
It was reflective listening, is what it was. So Dell bought Dell Computer, and Michael Dell bought Dell Computer, brought it private, so it no longer has to state its earnings. It doesn't have a stock price. It's off. It's all private equity. $24 bazillion, and it was a couple of parties went in with him. He bought it, and he had private equity from other companies that helped pay for it. Those other companies are basically banks and Microsoft. Microsoft added a little $2 billion cash infusion to get him over the top. The investors are.
So you have to refresh my memory, and you may not know the answer to this. I'm probably asking the wrong person.
But I'm sure I'll make it up if you.
I appreciate it. Yes, we both inherited the same genes from our dad. I get why you go public.
Yes.
I understand it. What's the advantage to going private again? I also fully recognizing that very few companies do it, which means there's probably not a lot of advantages. Is it literally just to get people from looking at you and scrutinizing your decisions?
So this has been a big thing for me because this is interesting. This is one of the
I just can't remember. Really big, I'm sure I learned this.
This is a big move. Generally speaking, the reason why you go private is to no longer be beholden to your stockholders.
Okay. Legally, it's to be a little more risky. You don't have to spend time, money, and energy reporting all that stuff.
Well, legally, you are required to. Yeah, you're legally bound to your investors as a CEO and as a board of directors. You have to give them profit. If you're doing things bad, you can get sued. Like Apple got sued this week because they're a publicly traded company and their investors aren't thrilled with them right now. They're stupid people. But not all of them, some of them. Anyways, so basically what happened was Dell was on this was on this death spiral. The Dell of the company, not the man, was on this death spiral, and Michael Dell decided that it was.
That's because, just for the record, it's hard to compete against the best PC manufacturer in the world. Just put it out there.
They are the number one.
No.
Technically.
Depends if we count tablets or not.
Okay, that's a good point. So, yes, HP is womping on Dell. But so the big thing that, you know, Dell came to prominence because when everybody is selling wholesale price at incredibly small margins, how you differentiate yourself is a big deal. And big prominence by having the best customer service. HP took a note from their book. Dell's customer service got worse, and then the tides turned, and now HP is obviously tremendously bigger than Dell. Dell's still a pretty big seller, but they're not where they were by any stretch.
Now it's HP and Lenovo, HP and Dell.
Right. And this is a big move. So
here's what I want to know. Obviously Michael could have just kind of said, well, you guys failed my company. ride that cash cow or ride that, you know, into the wind, whatever.
Ride it into the sunset.
So here's what I want to know. Is he personally getting super, I mean, cause he's like, he's putting his wealth on the line here, right? Which, you know, obviously there's bigger things than just money. So I get that. So I just want to know, what's that bigger thing for him? Is it, I guess I just saw this line here. He's increasingly worried about his legacy. So is he doing it to defensively to protect his name? And cause you know, cause he's really going to care like 100 years from now when he's dead, or is he doing it offensively? He sees something that he wants to go after, but for whatever reason can't do it as a public company because they won't have the appetite to wait out for it. You know what I'm saying?
I'm glad you asked that question.
Yeah, because obviously I've inherently implied which one is better, but
I've been reading a lot of articles, and this is what I can tell you. Nobody knows. Nobody seems to know what his plan is.
Does that include Mr. Dell?
Super clear. Well, that's one of the big questions. Nobody.
Because I feel like if he had a clear vision, all you got to do is communicate that out. Here's what we're doing. It's going to be awesome. And you wouldn't have to go private because your stock would bounce back and customers would be like, oh, wow, you're doing some stuff.
That is true unless you think it'll take 5 years and you couldn't be CEO. I think what happens is he feels I feel like he's a control freak. I feel like this is what's going on. He wants to be the guy in control and he wants to be the unencumbered man in control. Cause he feels like
the problem he's
been running into is that he believes Dell, the problem with, and this is my sense. I think he believes that the problem with Dell and the reason why he can't go into the future is because they're not listening to him anymore. They listened to him in the past. He was the man in charge. He was the Steve Jobs of Dell. He could just get away with anything. He could do anything. They go public, that over time, investors and CEOs and board of directors, they all get so muddled in it that he loses his voice in the company. They stop listening to him. They stop listening to his vision. And because everything becomes about, as they keep saying, everything becomes about the quarterly earnings. How do we increase quarterly
really
earnings?
Hard to and they, stand against. Yeah.
Right. And they over time, they, you know, put aside long-term improvements for, you know, long-term investing for short-term investing. And basically what he's been saying is, look, Dell is not a flawed company inherently. The Dell process isn't an inherently flawed process. And we that can see the future and can build stuff into the future. All we need to do is to stop focusing on short-term investments. If you think about their whole phone strategy, basically they launch a phone and it's gone a quarter later because it didn't make profits. It didn't make money. I think what's going on is their mobile strategy over the last 2 or 3 years has every time they come out with a new product, they make the investments, they do the R&D, and they don't have the stomach to say it didn't sell well, but it doesn't matter. We just got to get a Dell phone on the market and we have to have it sit there. We have to spend the time so that people can say, you know, it's not the best phone on the market, but it's pretty good and it's got a future. You know, because what is it that, you know, what is it that you know, that was Apple's.
Well, and especially now you communicate, hey, we're going to put this out here, but don't buy it because if it doesn't sell, you're hosed on support.
Exactly. And so I think what Dell did really and truly, quote unquote, to save his company and save his wealth was to basically, I don't think they're going to see a big radical change in Dell. I don't think there's some new future product that he wants, except that instead of this sort of.
Well, that makes the podcast boring, okay?
It's not an acceptable answer. But it's the truth. It's all they're going to do. But it is kind of exciting.
I care about entertainment.
Yeah. But it is kind of exciting. I'm excited about it. I'm optimistic on Dell's behalf because it's, you know, because it's
okay.
It's
the, I am not right excited. Strategy.
Well, yeah, because you work for right Hewlett Packard.
Well, just in a sense, okay. All right. From a HP perspective, I'm very excited because it's like, yeah, take that, Michael.
Yeah.
Stink. We're awesomer than you. We talked about spinning off, but we didn't. You actually did. Mm-hmm. So, anyways, and as an Apple user, I'm also very, very happy.
Jeez.
Again, but from just a watching it business standpoint, you're kind of like, eh, you know, he's going to try something, and we're not going to see it for 5 years, if that. And like you said, it will be a slight edge approach. Small changes. We probably are not going to see anything that'll just be like, oh, you blew my mind. That was an amazing thing to do. I feel like he's, you know, he's done his one trick thing. We'll see if he's got another one up his sleeve. I think I read this somewhere. It's probably not in the PC arena. They're probably going to get out of that, which is why you have to. That would be another good reason to take it private, because, oh my gosh, you know, you wouldn't last if you divested yourself of the PC division. And well, I think that's what they got to do.
I'm going to say, what's his name? You know, it's not the only reason he's lost his job at HP. The CEO that wanted to spin off the Dell, you know, the Dell division, wanted to spin off the PC division. It was like, it was such a crazy outcry. They're like, it's $1 billion a year profit generator. Like, are you kidding me? And his whole point was, yeah, but it's not the future. And Dell,
well,
I think,
from a ROI standpoint, it's horrific.
Right, exactly. And
relative to, you know, ink and toner, because it's awesome.
Right, and so I think that's what this is all about. It's. You know, he wants to move into a market that's going to require a stomach for having a product that doesn't make money in order to build a brand, while at the same time getting out of the computer program.
He wants to do what Google is doing, but he doesn't have a cash cow on the side to fund his activities.
Exactly.
Okay, that is exciting. Yeah. I mean, you know, if he can actually do it, which is going to be hard.
Will be hard. But, you know, he's a smart dude, and he's got a lot of – and this is the other thing. What's interesting – actually, the most interesting part about this is Microsoft invested $2 billion of cash equity into Dell. And the reason why this is interesting is because the only thing I've read from any – like, I've read a couple of articles on this, and there's basically consensus that what this is it is Microsoft's way of saying, you promised not to stop using Windows, right? And Dell is saying – okay, give me $2 billion, and I promise not to stop using Windows. And Microsoft said, okay, we'll do it. That to me is as interesting as anything about it, is the fact that Microsoft felt like they needed to make a serious cash investment in order to...
So does that mean that he's not going to be able to make some of the sweeping changes he wants to, because he's got this albatross of a loan for however long the term is?
I don't think.
You could always just not do it and go, thanks for the loan, guys. I'm paying interest, so leave me alone.
Right. And I think what's going on is he... I don't think he expects to, you know, stop selling computers next year, or maybe in the next 3 or 4 years. I think he just realizes that, you know, and so as far as he's concerned, we're going to keep using Windows. What else are we going to use for our computers? Are you kidding me? Like, but I have a feeling that you might see them venturing into other operating systems, and I doubt that was a $2 billion loan to, you know, to get Windows Phone 8 onto their whatever phones they're going to be developing in the next year or two.
Dude, you're going to see some Dell Chromebooks, just like we saw the first HP Chromebook this week.
It's happening. I think so.
Chromebooks are going to take over the world. How did that happen? I did not give them a fighting chance. But
I say they stopped being awful in a lot of ways. They got decent hardware.
Well, it's just a browser. I don't fully... I love that one review. They're like, so check this out, guys. And he like opens up Chrome on his computer, goes, I have Chrome. Done. Yeah. Anyways, they could do it. Actually, that would be a great market for them to get into, because they are very cost conscious, and that's the type of people that you'd be going after. And if they could get it to run halfway decent, that could be pretty powerful. Because right now the Chromebooks are like $250. Could you imagine if they figured out how to get it down to like the $50 price point?
My goodness. That would ridiculous. Be nuts.
Maybe it's impossible. But what if they got it to the 150?
Well, yeah. If you could get down to 100 or 100 or 150, that would be
truckloads.
That would be a changer of games, as they call it, I believe.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you buy a lens to some degree? They're $150.
Exactly. I don't know. But all right, cool. So Dell, man, they are... We don't have to talk about them ever again. No, I'm kidding. We probably will talking about.
Well, I'm sure we will, because either this is going to end really poorly and that will be exciting, or it'll be, you know, or they'll start to do well and they'll introduce new technology and that will be exciting. I'm not telling you which one I'm rooting for at this point.
BlackBerry. I don't know if I'm allowed to have any. Am I allowed to? Oh, I guess I don't. I don't represent HP, so I can have my own opinion.
Yeah.
It's hard when you work for HP to have a different opinion.
Well, yeah, especially about like, you know, one of your oldest competitors. It'd be like working for Apple or Microsoft and rooting for the other guys. Oh, they got great products. I really love those guys.
Yeah, I really hope they turn around and come out with something new, because that would just be really good for the industry.
It's hard for me to say that. It's just funny, if you walk into an Apple store, especially the ones across the street from the Microsoft store, that's how all the Apple employees sound. Like, it's really kind of, because that's like, that's what they're taught. Like, when you're the top dog, you don't kick the underdog. You act like you're too cool for school. And like, they're all like, man, I really hope the Surface takes off. I think that'll be great for the industry.
What?
Dude, it's so funny, man. It's just the company line, because everybody says the exact same thing. They're totally optimistic about Microsoft's future. It's great.
Hey, you know, that's the classy thing to do.
Well, and it looks horrible when you're ahead and you don't do that. You know, when you're the underdog, you can do I'm a Mac, I'm a PC. But once you finally start, you know, womping on the PC, you got to pull those ads and be a little more mature about it.
I understand. Of course, I'm a guy who, like, when my team is at 49-0, I'm like, why are we pulling the starters?
Yeah. Put him another point. Come on.
Come on. Yeah. Don't let up. Yeah. 60 and, minutes.
I was saying, and you thought we were playing football. We're playing soccer.
Exactly. So, wow. Indoor, maybe.